A welcome to all and happy Easter to all, especially our guests. I know that outside it feels closer to winter and Christmas than it does to spring and Easter, but you know, that's living in Oklahoma. On Christmas we can run around in t-shirts. On Easter we have to wear sweaters and heavy coats. A bit of a, sorry for all the new Easter outfits and all that have to be kind of covered over a little bit today. But it's great that all are here. We're united, all of us united together to sing our praises on this Easter Sunday that Christ has risen, truly he has risen. And we do so with great fanfare. It's for us as Catholics for Easter, it's kind of like go big or stay home. You know, that's why we get all the great decorations in the sanctuary and all the wonderful music, especially for this Mass. I mean, let me be honest, it's like, you'd have to pay top dollar downtown to hear music like this. And today you're getting it for free. But not only, see, what makes it better, it's being offered not as a performance, but as an act of worship and of prayer to proclaim that Christ is risen, truly he is risen. Therefore, it's priceless. It's a great gift that we now share with one another. To celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ, that through his resurrection, sin and death do not have the final word. That is reason for us to celebrate regardless of the weather. This victory of Easter is the greatest part of the great love revealed in the incarnation. By incarnation, we mean God the Son, the creative action of God, taking on our humanity in Jesus Christ. It is the great love revealed in Holy Week, which began last Sunday with Palm Sunday, revealed especially in the Triduum, the 3 days, from sundown Holy Thursday to sundown on Easter Sunday. It is a great divine love revealed in the Lord's Supper, revealed on the cross, and now revealed in the resurrection. Last night we began the celebration with the Easter Vigil. It is our custom to welcome new members into the church at that time through baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. And an estimated 150,000 nationwide were received into the church, just in the United States. We had several here as well. And I ask you to keep those who came to the church last night, particularly in your prayers. Now that they've been united with Christ, united with us as the church of the Easter sacraments, the devil is going to put them under a great deal of spiritual attack to deceive, to drive them away, to water down what they have experienced, that we have experienced in the joy of Easter, the great divine love revealed to us in Jesus. We begin the great celebration, this joy of Easter that we will continue not only today, but all the way for the next 50 days to Pentecost Sunday. For the joy of Easter continues. It cannot be confined to a single day. It is the great joy. It is also the great scandal of the resurrection that we celebrate. And by scandal, I mean actions that offend or upset what is considered to be acceptable, what is thought to be normal, and the expectations that we think are proper. And all of Holy Week is a scandal. A scandal in that the God revealed to us in Jesus Christ goes beyond all of our expectations. The divine love revealed upsets all the limitations that we try to place upon God. And this divine love, revealed in the scandal of the empty tomb, is what we celebrate today. In John's Gospel that we hear this morning, on that first Easter Sunday before dawn, the patron saint of this parish, Mary of Magdala, also known as Mary Madeline, goes to the tomb of Jesus. His body has been placed there on Friday after his crucifixion. Now, in some of the other gospel accounts, Mary Magdalene is one of a group of women that have gone to the tomb with the expectation to anoint a corpse. To do so, that was part of the proper burial customs of the time and place. You think of it along these lines. In much the same way that on Memorial Day, we go to Grandma's grave and place flowers there. That's considered proper and right. That's what Mary Magdalene is doing. It's considered to be proper, acceptable. And she expects to find a corpse. Instead, she encounters the scandal of the resurrection. The stone to the entrance of the tomb has been rolled away, and the tomb itself is empty. The body of Jesus is gone. Now, rightly confused, Mary Magdalene runs and tells two other apostles of Jesus, Peter and another one who's probably John, the brother of James, and together they run to the tomb, only to find it is empty as she had said. None of this is expected. In terms of resurrection, the best that they could hope for, what they were to be thinking is that for Jesus, was that Jesus along with all the other righteous would be raised up by God on the day of judgment. That was the best case scenario. What confronts them instead is the scandal of the resurrection. And also what confronts them is then how do they respond to it? Now, so that we're all on the same page about what resurrection means. By resurrection, we do not mean resuscitation. We do not mean like a code blue at the hospital when somebody is then brought back to life who's been clinically dead for several minutes. That's not resurrection. Nor is it a type of spiritual experience such as say, well, Jesus lived on in the hearts of his disciples. That's not resurrection either. By resurrection, we mean a bodily resurrection in the flesh. The one who was dead on the cross is now alive in a way that is beyond all expectations, beyond all the limitations that we place on God's great divine love for us. And to have a woman to be the first witness of the empty tomb, that is also part of the scandal. Mary Magdalene is living in a time and place much different from our own in many ways. And one of them, that her time and place, the testimony of women was not accepted. They were not seen as reliable witnesses. They could not give, for example, testimony in a civil court or a religious court. And to those who want to dismiss the resurrection as a hoax or Christian propaganda, having a woman or even a group of women as the primary witness to this unexpected revelation of divine love, well, let me put it this way, that's a rather odd choice. If you want to come up with a hoax, you want to make it plausible. You're going to come up with a hoax, you're going to have men are going to be the first ones to witness this, not women. Mary Magdalene, the patron saint of our parish, upsets the idea that the resurrection is a hoax. She is the first witness, soon followed by Peter and John. And these three are also the first to be confronted with the question of how to respond to the resurrection. It's the same question and the same scandal that confronts us today. On this Easter, on every Easter, particularly today as we renew the promises of our baptism, as we'll do here in a few moments. The great scandal of the resurrection, the divine, great divine love revealed in the empty tomb, it's an either or. It's not a both and. Either it happened or it didn't. Either it happened as those who witnessed saw it, as those who later then encounter the risen Christ tell us, as the Gospels record and as the church proclaims, or it did not. Either Jesus walked out of that tomb, or he did not. Either he was brought back to life in a way beyond our expectations, or he stayed dead, and he's still dead. There's no middle ground. There's no gray. If it did not happen, then at best the resurrection is a feel-good fairy tale. And at worst, it is a cruel hoax. If it happened, however, as we profess it to be true, then there are some serious, even eternal implications. If the resurrection is true, then we as the church, if we have any integrity, then we cannot live our faith as a part-time proposition. Living as disciples cannot be a hobby. It cannot be only when convenient. It cannot be a personal opinion or a privately held belief. If it is truth, which we proclaim today that it is, then we must live a publicly stated, openly lived faith that will cause scandal by revealing the divine love of the risen Christ. The The scandal of the resurrection is to be the center of our lives. That is what we seek and strive to, as often as we fail. Last night, the Easter vigil, by the way, we start with the fire, the lighting of the Easter fire. I can say I'm 0-25 now. Every year I have escaped going up in the flames along with the fire to light the Easter candle. We had some trouble getting it lit initially, and every time we got that Easter candle lit, a gust of wind came and blew it out. But we just kept on trying. I think it's a good way to imagine our faith, because the candles, particularly the candles of the Easter vigil that we hold, that represents the light of Christ given to us in our baptism, and the enemy, Satan, wants to do nothing more than for that light, that faith, to be extinguished in us. But we keep on trying. We keep on lighting that. We keep on letting the flames of the Holy Spirit burn, enliven, give us life. That is what we seek, to have the risen Christ, the scandal of the resurrection, as the center of our lives. This is our response to the empty tomb. For Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, everything that Jesus said and did now has to be reinterpreted, has to be understood through that experience of the empty tomb. And for us, everything that we say and do is to be understood through the scandal of the resurrection. For it is by this great scandal, hearts are changed, lives are transformed, and the world is saved. This is what confronted those who experienced the empty tomb on that first Easter Sunday. This is what confronts us on this Easter Sunday. As we proclaim the truth of the resurrection, that Christ is risen, truly He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.